Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
At what moment does one cease being a child of the devil and become a child of the living God? Does it occur when one first believes in Christ? My friends, you know it does not. John records that among the chief rulers, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. John 12:42. But if we do not confess Jesus Christ before men, he will not confess us before the Father in heaven. Matthew 10:32. Can anyone be saved if he believes in Christ but does not confess him? Millions of people have believed in Christ, but were not saved because they did not obey him. James affirms, even so faith, if it keeps on not having works, is dead, being alone. James 2:17. But what about Saul of Tarsus? Was he not saved when he first met Christ on the Damascus Road and believed on him? My friends, if Saul were saved on the Damascus Road, our Lord himself did not know it. Jesus said to Saul, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do." Acts 9:6. The word "must" Jesus used in this verse is exactly the same word he used when he told Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." John 3:7. Saul of Tarsus arose and went into the city of Damascus to learn what he had to do to be saved. Upon his arrival in the city, he was met by a preacher whom the Lord had sent to tell him the good news. The preacher, Ananias, said to Saul, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. But surely baptism had nothing to do with Saul's salvation. My friends, it did, unless the divine record has misled us. Saul's faith led him to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But is that the way Paul understood his conversion to Christ? You know it is if you have read Romans 6 and Colossians 2. Let us take note first of Colossians 2. Paul tells us that the Colossians had been circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in that they had put off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Colossians 2:11. How were they able to enjoy such blessings? Paul explains, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead." Colossians 2:12. The tense of the verb "buried" is second aorist passive participle and should read, "having been buried with him in baptism." Putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ provides insight into the time one becomes a New Testament Christian. Paul then explained by the verb that it was done in the act of obeying the Lord in baptism. J.B. Lightfoot's commentary on St. Paul's epistles to the Colossians and to Philemon sets forth this truth very simply and powerfully. Baptism is the grave of the old man and the birth of the new. As he sinks beneath the baptismal waters, the believer buries there all his corrupt affections and past sins. As he emerges thence, he rises regenerate, quickened to the new hopes and a new life. Page 184. Bishop Lightfoot was a great Greek scholar, but is that really what the Bible teaches? My friends, if you want to confirm that, read Romans 6:3-4. We are buried with him by baptism and raised to a new life. Thank you for listening, and may God continue to bless you.